On Monday, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that most of the state's pandemic restrictions would be coming to an end once 70% of adults in New York received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. The state has been slowly ticking up toward this new threshold this week, with 69.2% of adult New Yorkers hitting the mark on Thursday. When the 70% mark is hit, New York will lift the required rules for hair salons, restaurants, retail shops, gyms, offices, and other public gathering sites. In light of this new chapter in the state's battle against the novel coronavirus, we're going to chat with Dr. Dennis Nash, Executive Director of the CUNY Institute for Implementation Science and Population Health. Welcome back to the show, Dennis.
Thanks, Dave.
So, for starters, what do you think of this goal the governor has set up for further relaxing pandemic restrictions? 70% of adult New Yorkers with at least one shot in their arm. Is that 70% number some sort of magic threshold in the world of epidemiology?
No, not at all. And I think your guess is as good as mine as to where that threshold of 70% with at least one dose of vaccine came from. But it's certainly not a magic number from an epidemiologic standpoint. And as I think we've seen, there's a lot of variability about that vaccination coverage level, depending on, you know, which county you look in or which borough or which neighborhood in New York City you're looking in, and also, you know, which sociodemographic groups we're talking about. And so even though we could see, you know, 70%, it's really great to see so many people having at least started the vaccination process. We know that there are still, you know, many communities, many groups of people who are not anywhere close to 70% yet. And so that is, I think, an important thing to keep in mind when setting these metrics. I think that it is a good thing that the governor is beginning to tie things like achieving a certain threshold of vaccine coverage before opening up certain aspects of society. But, you know, to pick such a low threshold in this case, since we're already, you know, very, very close to 70%, it seems not too ambitious. You know, other ways that the governor could have done this is to say, well, it's going to have to be at least 70% in the county with the lowest vaccination rates as of today, or, you know, 70% in communities of color or the hardest hit communities around the state. To pick a 70% number statewide still risks leaving some people behind. So I would have liked to see something a little more ambitious from a public health standpoint.
So putting aside, I guess, the arbitrary nature of the 70% number itself, what about the fact that the governor isn't requiring people to be fully vaccinated to be part of this rollback? One vaccine dose is all you need for the Johnson & Johnson shot, but if we're talking Pfizer or Moderna, you need two shots. And this also isn't taking into account the time you need to let the vaccine take effect. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, there could be different ways that he could have gone about this. He could have said, he said 70% with at least one dose. He could have said 65% fully vaccinated. And I think it's okay to start with at least one dose. But if you were going to do that, you'd probably want to set the threshold a bit higher than 70%. What that means is that, you know, at least 70% of the state has begun the process of getting vaccinated. And while it doesn't always happen, most people who start with the series of COVID-19 vaccines ultimately finish it. So it means that it's trending in the right direction towards ultimately 70% being fully vaccinated, which, as you say, will be some weeks from now.
And so you mentioned the regional discrepancies in vaccine uptake. Considering that, would it make more sense, as opposed to doing a statewide approach, maybe doing regional rollbacks of pandemic measures based on the local vaccination rate, something akin to what we saw in November and December with the orange and red zones, and last summer with the rollbacks of restrictions based on different regions?
Well, yeah, I'm not so sure that that regional approach worked in a place like New York City, where everything's so much more interconnected. It may be true even in a broader regional level, for example, you know, different regions of upstate New York. But the fact is that we are all very interconnected. And if we were to take an approach like that, we'd want to make sure that it accounts for the fact that people do come and go from different places all around the state. I think it's particularly challenging for New York City. Things have been opening up. People are returning to their normal routines and normal scheme of things. That means people moving all around the city. So I don't think the regional approach would have really worked so well here.
What do you think of the governor's decision to set the state's goal based on the vaccination rate of adults? Does it make sense to exclude children from this calculation?
To me, that number should be based on the number of people who are currently eligible for the vaccine, right? So that would include everyone of 12 and up at this point. I think that it is important to be talking about the percent of the population that's eligible to be vaccinated in this percentage. I think we should be looking at the entire denominator of people who are eligible to be vaccinated as of today when we're tracking these metrics. I know it's trending in the right direction in that younger group as well, and they have become eligible more recently, so it's going to take much longer for them to get to that 70% mark, but I still think it shouldn't take as long as it did for adults because we had a very staged rollout with limited supply of vaccine, and we just don't have that issue now.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about the potential relaxing of pandemic restrictions, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Nash, Executive Director of the CUNY Institute for Implementation Science in Population Health. Well, I guess one of the reasons why the governor could theoretically argue that we don't need to factor in children is this theory that's kind of going around that children are less likely to transmit the virus and get sick from it. What do you think about those types of arguments? Is this an area of settled science?
I think they are less likely to get sick than older people, but they're not less likely to become infected and transmit to other people, including people who may be more vulnerable than them. So for that reason, we have to factor this in. All this stuff is connected. It's hard to consider one group in isolation from another.
So we've been having this conversation solely through the context in which the governor has framed it, which is about relaxing restrictions based on vaccination rates. Is that the right metric to make these sort of determinations? Or instead, should we be looking to other things like transmission rates or the rate of hospitalizations?
I think the state is right to be focusing on vaccination. It's the most effective tool we have within our control to mitigate both the risk of hospitalization and death, as well as the risk of spread of the virus in communities. And as a result of this, we have seen precipitous drops in community transmission and deaths and in hospitalization. And it's continuing to trend, for the most part, in the right direction. I think, however, we always need to be thinking about all the different dimensions of the pandemic, and we need to be keeping an eye on hospitalizations and deaths and transmission rates, because it's quite possible that we can see a resurgence of the virus, hopefully not over the summer, hopefully not in the fall, but it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, given the pockets of communities with high rates of unvaccinated individuals, given the rapid spread that some new variants and that some not so new variants are capable of. So we need to keep vigilant using some other metrics as well in terms of deciding when some of these reopenings might need to be walked back in addition to just looking at vaccination coverage. If we were looking at vaccination coverage in a different way, for example, looking at those communities that are, having all communities at 70% or higher as opposed to just the whole state, then I might view it differently. But as it stands now, there's certainly the potential for outbreaks and spread based on the vaccination coverage levels that we have now, and we could see spikes in hospitalizations and deaths as a result.
When we do hit that 70% vaccination rate among adult New Yorkers, we're still going to have some mask rules, like for public transit, homeless shelters, healthcare facilities, and prisons. But for the most part, if you're vaccinated, it's going to be kind of a free-for-all. Are there any precautions that you think are just too critical to roll back, even if it might be safe to get rid of a lot of them?
Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about indoor workplace safety. The guidelines as a CUNY faculty member, I had, in order to come back to work, I had to do a state training that basically reviewed all of the safety protocols for the state workforce. And I was surprised to see that this training video really did not seem to acknowledge the fact that coronavirus is spread through aerosols and airborne transmission. It really sort of was focused on an incorrect notion of droplet spread only. And so what that means is workplace guidance is typically something like this. When you're indoors in a workplace, you have to wear a mask when you're within 6 feet of another person, regardless of vaccination status. And when you're not in 6 feet of another person, or when you're in a room by yourself, you don't need to wear a mask. And that worries me because it doesn't acknowledge the role of airborne spread, and I think it's incorrect way to proceed at this point. And so to get back to your question, I think there are some things that shouldn't be walked back, and masks indoors when, you know, not eating should not be walked back in under any circumstances, except when you know that all parties are vaccinated.
That would be contrary, though, to the CDC guidance, right?
CDC guidance does acknowledge aerosol spread, and the state guidance does not. And I think we should be having people wear masks, face coverings at all times while indoors. I don't think that that's at odds with CDC guidance. I do think that that's what the state guidance is.
Are you concerned at all, I guess from a psychological standpoint, that once we take our masks off this summer, if there is, you know, a spike next fall, or the possibility of a spike and masks would be really important in preventing one or curtailing one, that we're just going to be like, no, I'm not doing that, not putting the mask back on. Are you concerned about that potential?
I guess I do worry about it a little bit, but I think, I guess I've been thinking about it the other way. I do think that mask, as difficult an adjustment it was for the U.S. to make a transition to using masks to protect public health and individual health, I'm hoping that a silver lining of this pandemic is that people will don them when the time comes again for either this pandemic or other threats. I hope to see people wearing masks more during flu season. I think we've learned that we don't have to accept upwards of 50,000 deaths due to flu a year in this country. We saw very low levels of flu activity this year, and a lot of it is because of the mask use that's been happening. So I hope that people will see, you know, the benefits of mask wearing in certain scenarios during certain times of the year, in terms of how it can really reduce deaths of, you know, some of our most vulnerable citizens.
And finally, your upstate colleague, our other go-to epidemiologist, Dr. Eli Rosenberg, told us in the end of May that he was still cutting his own hair. What's your position on going to a barber or a salon, even if you're vaccinated?
I will say that I held off quite a long time, maybe not as long as Eli. And I went more than 2 weeks after my second dose of vaccine. I think it's a reasonable time to go, especially if your barber is wearing a mask. There's some very good, maybe Eli may have forgotten about this, but there's one very, you know, landmark study that showed in a salon where workers were infected but didn't know it, they were wearing a mask, and you know, dozens and dozens of their customers that came in indoors during that time did not get infected. So I still would not have done it while I was unvaccinated, but knowing about those epidemiologic data and also knowing about effectiveness of the vaccine and that the person who cuts my hair was wearing a mask and I was wearing a mask, I felt safe doing it.
Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Dennis Nash. He's the executive director of the CUNY Institute for Implementation Science in Population Health. Dr. Nash, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.